We're not going anywhere. Anytime soon.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 29, Imperfect Strangers. And now here are your perfect friends, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting. Before we pass it on to Tara and Sarah, I just want to say that we have construction outside of our house, me and Tara's house. So you may hear it, probably not. But if you hear this weird low hum and it's either what's happening outside or it's me excited because it's Google Fiber coming into our house finally.
Woo!
Oh, congrats.
That, yeah.
On to you.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
We have a Patreon episode coming up. This is episode 21, dropping October 30th. Let's watch Luke Perry in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. You can find it for rent or purchase in the usual places. And I also discovered this week, it's on Stars as well. It's on the app and it's on, if you subscribe to Stars, it's on, it's like in the mix, it's on the schedule. So, you know, search for it in your guide if you still are like me and Sarah, the two last people in America to subscribe to cable. It's there as well. So those are the places you can find it. And you can join us at patreon.com/againwiththis to hear that episode October 30th. Sarah, shall we begin discussing Imperfect Strangers?
Sure.
Okay.
Belky. Close in.
Let us start with our C plot. Nepotism hire Chaz stinks up D&D. I mean, yeah. We didn't really get into this, but like the decision to call him Chaz, it's like there's no way this character would have been good or likable, but like every aspect of him had to be gross. No offense to the Chazes out there. I'm sure you're lovely, but it's like looking like that, being like that, and being named Chaz, it's like behind the eight ball for this guy, really.
Yeah. I mean, there's just something about it. It's like they needed to take one thing off of him. Mm-hmm. I understand that this is a soap opera, but like generally speaking, every comment that I have on this entire storyline going forward, which won't be many because I don't buy it, will be because I don't buy it.
Well,
like,
yeah,
that his shit would work. Well, anyway, let's hear some clips.
Yeah, let's get into
it. You'll see what I mean.
So agency higher ups are loading up Amanda and Allison with trouble accounts to the tune of six more this week. And because Amanda is Amanda, she frames this as Allison getting behind and letting shit fall through the cracks before putting on her sunniest smile to announce that Allison is there to hear good news. Bruce has authorized Amanda to hire backup. It'll be a junior executive at Allison's level, also reporting to Amanda. And since the two of them are a team, Amanda wants Allison to be involved in hiring. And Allison believes this. I mean, it seems like Amanda believes it too right now. But, you know, stay tuned. Sometime later, Amanda's in a good mood as she wanders into the reception area. Clip two.
I must admit, I never expected lunch with mother to be inked into my daily planner.
I was going to do a thing here about this being another reminder of this being the past, but then I remembered Sarah probably has a paper planner, too.
I actually don't anymore.
Oh my God.
I retired my file of facts. It was within this presidential administration, but I did do it.
Yeah.
Finally.
I think I definitely had a paper planner then and I was super nerdy about it. I mean, I still is. My calendar is color coded, of course, but my paper calendar was color coded then and it had a lot of rules. Surprising no one.
I remember.
Amanda then makes the mistake of mentioning the pile of resumes that made her a little late to meet Hillary. And the position they're hiring for, because what do you know, Chaz would be just perfect for this job, according to Hillary. Also, Hillary has to cancel their lunch, and Amanda deflates and says she wishes that Hillary had called, but, you know, they'll do it another time. But no reason for Amanda to miss lunch, since Chaz is right out front in the car, and he eats, and Amanda could just eat with him instead. Oh, Hillary, you are so bad at this. So bad.
Yeah.
But, shocking a nation, Amanda does go out for lunch with Chaz, She sounds really over it slash him when we rejoin them and noncommittal about his chances for the job, although she does at least say that she will formally interview him. And then he tries to do some damage control about the nylon sock leg molestation from the last episode, which probably should have happened as soon as they sat down or before. But let's hear that in clip three.
Amanda, maybe we should clear the air before we go any further. I really want this job. And I'm really sorry about the other night.
You came on pretty strong. I didn't appreciate it.
Hang me, I'm a flirt. But a harmless one. At work, it'd be strictly business.
Oh, that goes without saying. So let's say I decide to overlook your little indiscretion. There's still a question I have in my mind. Why should I hire you?
Because I have a degree in marketing, 2 years at Harper Advertising in New York, been a media consultant for 3 years. And as you pointed out earlier, I'm young and very aggressive.
Yes, you made that abundantly clear.
I believe you need more.
One thing. My work means everything to me. I put 110% into it. Anyone on my team has to share the same philosophy.
Then we have that in common. And probably a lot more.
Okay. First of all, what is that, like, Skinamax soundtrack? Like, what kind of Thai restaurant is like, boo-doo-doo-doo, wow. Yeah. It's just very weird. I'm sorry that I noticed these things. Mm-hmm. Second of all, he didn't come on a little strong. He groped you, and he's your mother's boy toy. Mm-hmm. Why are we here? Why are we staying here?
Yeah.
I get why. It's just,
Yeah, she gives him a flat loathing look in this scene that's like, you know, puts Brandon's to shame. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, it doesn't last, but I was still happy to see it, and it's in the visual aids, but yeah.
Yeah.
This is where she belongs, and so everything else that follows is, like, as Sarah said, extremely improbable, but let us proceed through the signposts of this really crazy storyline anyway, because we have to. Yeah. Somehow, when Allison comes into Amanda's office after lunch, she learns that Amanda brought Chaz back with her because she just went ahead and hired him at lunch. Okay. What?
Sure.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, it's like she only told Allison about this job being available that day. Like, is Hillary that plugged in that she heard about this and, like, arranged for this? Oops, I had to drop out of lunch, but Chaz can take my place, like, on an hour's notice? Like, that part of it doesn't make sense.
No.
Anyway, Allison tries her best not to appear offended and horrified, asking how this came about so quickly and where Amanda found Chaz, and Amanda explains their connection. And Allison's like, got it, as Amanda and Chaz joke about him being her future stepfather and how he won't insist on Amanda calling him dad. And Allison then learns that he's officially starting the next morning and then asks to speak with Amanda in private once he's left to go tell Hillary the good news. Allison reminds Amanda about, you know, her saying that Allison would be able to have input in the hiring and calling into question whether the familiar relationship between Amanda and Chaz is what got him to the front of the line. And rather than answer that, Amanda dodges that she lobbied hard to get Allison help on her account, so she just quit being such a bitch. I'm paraphrasing. She, you know, it's not an answer, and also doesn't, you know, scan with anything else that has happened between Amanda and Chaz up to this point, but okay, sure. This is where we are, so let's keep going, I guess. Soap. Amanda then meets Hillary and Chaz for dinner without Jake because he's stuck on the boat in Catalina. We'll get to him. But the party goes on without him, with Hillary toasting to Chaz's future at D&D. And Chaz also toasts to Amanda, his new boss and a great woman. And Hillary agrees that she's great, because she takes after Hillary's side of the family, according to Hillary. And Amanda warmly says that Palmer always wanted to see her and Hillary getting along again like this. And Hillary says she thought Palmer was a topic that was off limits. And Amanda says he is. She wasn't really talking about him, which, okay, counselor. But she claims he didn't spend his life bad-mouthing Hillary. He always tried to be fair about her reasons for leaving. And Hillary laughs mirthlessly before saying Palmer wouldn't know fair if he tripped over it. And things devolve quickly. Clip four.
Daddy may have been flawed, but he was a good man. In my mind, he still is.
Your father made it illegal to come within 10 feet of my own daughter. How do you figure that as good?
There wasn't much choice. You weren't exactly rational at the time. If you were around, it would probably have proven more damaging than anything.
Is that the story he told you? Please, Amanda, we both know that your father is a master manipulator.
Fine, but at least he was there, working more than one job so I could attend good schools, live in a decent home.
Really painted himself quite the martyr, didn't he?
I think we should move on.
He was a devoted father, and you are in no position to dispute that.
Amanda, during the hours he was supposedly working all those jobs, he was probably in one of three places. With another woman, at the track, or scheming with other low-life criminals.
If tearing him down is the only way you can make yourself feel better, then maybe you should remember this. You left when I was 12. That doesn't exactly make you a saint. Excuse me.
Is the restraining order new information? I feel like we haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Or also that he was at the track.
Right.
Like, I mean, this whole thing is like, it's to set up a spinoff. So I will grade on a curve mm-hmm. is A. And B, it was hinted that Amanda, being a child, was not given all the information on her mother's departure.
Right.
I do think that was new information, but it also seems like Amanda now has that information, but we didn't see her get it.
Yeah.
And I also don't appreciate while this is going on, having Chaz present.
Exactly.
Like, he annoys me as though he's a real person. Like, yes. The fact that his hair is like that, I know it was 93. I don't care. Yeah. He's just so slappable. And then he, yes. like, that Midwestern twang. It's just uh-huh. like, him?
Yeah.
I'm so tired of Chaz already. And there's so much more.
There's a lot more. Yeah.
Chazzing.
Even in this scene, because after Amanda leaves the table, it's fucking Chaz who goes after her and tries to explain away Hillary's behavior by saying she works in a ruthless industry and that her business armor sometimes stays on in her personal life, basically, which, like, oh boy, can't wait to learn more about that in another show, I guess. But Hillary does care about Amanda, and so does Chaz. You've met like 3 days ago, but okay. Amanda says she just needs to cool off, and Chaz offers to drive her home. She doesn't want him to get in trouble over her, and so she'll see him at work. And the next morning, Jake catches Amanda on her way out to the office and opens the door for her to calmly berate him for letting her down the previous night and never being a priority for him. And once she has said all this, she doesn't seem mad anymore. And when he asks, admits that she and Hillary got into it, and he wants to help her get over it. She agrees to let him take her for dinner the next night, just the two of them, and be there no matter what. And we'll see the rest of their part of the storyline in the A-plot. And at the office, Allison's on the phone doing actual work while Chaz bullshits with Bruce, trying to get a weekly poker game going with some of the other guys at the office. And then Allison tries to get in on this poker game, too, claiming she plays a mean five-card stud, which, like, no one believes this Allison
no.
with a poker face.
Yeah. You may be old maid. Maybe. Or go
maybe.
Fish.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe she could play asshole, but anyway, they both fully ignore her and continue to make arrangements right in front of her. And as Bruce heads off to spread the word upstairs, he tells Chaz they really needed someone around him or like him around D&D. Bruce, gross.
Did they?
Yeah.
No.
Ugh. Yeah, someone to dick around and, you know, glad hand. Okay. Yeah.
Someone to skyrocket your sexual harassment defense budget.
Right.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Anyway, when he's gone, Chaz continues not to impress in clip five.
Half hour break with the big boss. Must be nice.
Oh, we just grabbed a soda.
Right. So, do you have the Stewart Company analysis?
No, but I started it.
You do know it has to be turned in by the end of the day.
Well, maybe you better finish it.
Excuse me, but I happen to have two of my own reports due.
Look, Amanda told me that it was your job to help me out. Now would be a good time for you to start doing it.
What?
It's your jab? Okay. Derek from Hand Jabs. Oh, my God. Jazz.
Yeah. Go back to your job at Portillo's and we'll talk about this later. Yeah. This is not credible. Like, I don't know why, even if Allison is worried about the nepotism aspect, like at this point, this is when you go to Amanda and say, he's not doing what has been assigned to him.
Anything.
Right.
Yeah. Also, like, even Allison would be like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Right. Yeah. Sink or swim. This has your name on it. And if you don't finish it, that's on you.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, anyway. I don't get it. This is dumb.
I don't either.
Again, this is dumb. Soap, soap, soap. Billy comes up to meet Allison at her desk later. He's been waiting, blah, blah. She explains how Chaz is ruining her life because have they not been discussing this at home at all? Like, he's been there for several days. What? Again, bad writing. Like,
We also haven't seen Billy until, like, he just doesn't show up until like halfway through the episode.
Right.
This is some weird shit at the end of the season, for sure.
It is. Yes. And there definitely are more characters than they can service. Like, at this point, Matt just pops up to like show that he still exists. Exactly.
I know that he's like, hey, brought some moose for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
But there's a way that they could have explained this where it's like, you know, why are you so tense? Well, it's like I've been saying, it's like I told you last night, Chaz still isn't doing anything or whatever. Like, there's a way they could have done it. They didn't.
Yeah.
Like, she's conflating this as if it's all brand new information to him. Anyway, she also adds that she heard Chaz even makes more money than she does on top of doing no work, which, like, no surprise. And Billy's like, that's bullshit. And he's right for once. Clip six.
Allison, if Amanda's going to make you work twice as hard just because she hired family, I mean, I think you should at least be compensated for it. You should talk to personnel and tell them about this nepotism crap. Let them deal with it.
Maybe I'll tell her myself.
Hey.
Bye. That's all we see of him, basically.
Okay. Good job, Billy.
Yeah. So Allison heads off looking for Amanda, but Chaz finds her first, looking sadly out the window. And she vaguely says it's relationship stuff, but like that has barely been established either. Like, so there's, you know, in order to silo these storylines for our purposes, there's a little bit of that in the B plot too, but like, this is way overblown for how much like Amanda is looking sadly out the window. It's not what's going on with Jake is not that much. And this is not
or new.
Right.
Yeah.
But whatever. This is the precipitating event of the scene, unless there was another thing that got cut because Elvis Costello music was playing in it. But whatever. She declines to go into it since she has shit to do. So Chaz pivots. Clip seven.
You're a pretty amazing woman, Amanda.
You don't have to try and make me feel better, Chaz. Really, I'm fine.
No, honestly. You've got so much to juggle, and you managed to do it without dropping a single ball.
Oh, well. It's all me. And you happen to be an easy audience.
Well, like I told you before, I'm very serious.
About what?
About the fact that you're one of a kind. I've never met anyone like you, Amanda. You're rare, precious. Not even your mother can hold a candle to you.
I thought you agreed to keep this strictly business.
Guess you haven't noticed, but it's way past 5 o'clock.
Okay, so then they kiss. It's, first of all, gross. And second of all,
yeah,
so improbable. Like, even if she's doing this because she's sad or mad about Jake, like, him, he is so smarmy. Like, it's
this and, like, that I'm very serious in the front, right, but I'm a party in the back.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing too, like, I know that in whatever, when Amanda first showed up and she's like, Billy, I think I'm falling in love with you, and we're like, him?
Yeah.
Like, but Locklear almost sold it, like, with this Chaz problem. It's like, even for Locklear, it's not possible.
She can't do it.
She's just like,
yes,
like literally holding her nose. And yeah, then they are just like kind of at 90 degree angles, chewing on corn on the cob for like 45 minutes until fucking Courtney Thorne-Smith is finally like, oh, right, I have a line.
Yeah.
And hits her mark. Like, oh God, it's so...
It's brutal.
Soap.
So yeah, that's what happens. Allison comes around the corner and sees them making out, and Chaz, even more disgustingly, like fully makes eye contact with Allison before he closes the blinds, and it's not okay, and I'm not okay with
no,
it.
No, it's not. None of it is okay.
But that's where we leave it. Moving on to our B plot. Sydney probably should not have trusted Lauren. Who could have seen
what?
This coming? I know. God. So Sydney and her actually pretty good looking wrap dress, when we see it in full, the skirt is like this weird fluted situation, but the top of it is very flattering. And I love that color on her. Fight me.
No, I mean, for the time, pretty good.
Okay. She comes storming into the hospital looking for Michael. Matt, in his one scene, hasn't seen Michael, doesn't care that Sydney also hasn't seen him in days. In fact, Matt's pretty psyched that Sydney's getting what she deserves after the way she fucked him over. Sometimes wishes do come true, he says. And Sydney is stunned to hear him tell it like it is, and maybe a little bit turned on, which is probably confusing for them both.
Like, I know.
I have a GIF that is like called something like, Sydney, please do not fall in love with Matt just because he's being mean to you. But that kind of seems like it's what's happening.
Anyway. Yeah. Also, those two are like fully already boning, like, hey, guys, yeah, how's it going?
So she stomps off again, this time with Kimberly behind her, asking what she's doing and looming over her gloriously. And Sydney, duly intimidated, faintly says she's looking for her husband. And Kimberly thinks it's hilarious that Sydney's even still calling him that. So getting bolder, Sydney says she has the marriage certificate and the ring to prove it's real. So Kimberly drags her into the lounge by her wrist like some kind of man, and then seems to have a brain cloud or something, opening the door for Sydney to start babbling in clip 8.
Oh, what was I thinking? The noble doctor has risen from the grave and I'm supposed to step aside and let her reclaim her life. Well, guess what? I don't give a damn about the doctor or her accident or a coma. Or broken engagement. That's old news, and so is your being in Michael's life.
Now you get this, Claire, you opportunistic little bitch. If anything's old news around here, it's you. And if you think that shotgun marriage you arranged is going to protect you, then you are dumber than you look. Now you stay the hell out of our lives, and you won't get hurt, okay?
What? I'm supposed to be afraid of you?
My professional advice. You bet your ass.
I'm scared.
Yeah, like, you're not that kind of dumb, Sydney. You need to be afraid of her.
Yeah.
I'm very afraid of her. And this all took place 30 years ago.
Seriously.
Queen.
I know, the greatest. So Sydney manages later to find Michael in a convertible, but he's leaving and in no mood to talk. Trying to goad him into a fight by calling Kimberly zombie woman doesn't work either. And when he tries to get her off the car so he can actually drive away, Sydney tells him about Kimberly's threats and physical assault, and he does not care. So then he comes home to find Kimberly wrapped in a cozy sweater, looking at the ocean, just thinking. He can tell something's wrong and assumes it has something to do with that idiot Sydney, and she says it does, sort of. And then they recap the whole he got married so fast, he thought she was dead thing for new viewers, I guess, though they don't get to the blackmail part. And then she says that after the accident, she had an out-of-body experience. Clip 9.
I've been to the other side, Michael. I've been to hell and back. And it taught me something. I can never compromise myself for a man again.
Okay. So what are you saying?
That before, we did things your way. This time, we're gonna do things my way.
Okay.
He had no objection.
No. I mean, I'm convinced.
Nor should he.
Indeed.
She's... It's it's not safe.
No. I mean, he doesn't seem like he appreciates that part of it. At this point, she just seems like she's, like, very in control and focused. And, you know, I appreciate that.
Well, and I don't think he has actually any problem with a woman ordering him around.
Yeah.
As long as they're sort of on the same evil wavelength, which I think he thinks they are.
He does. He's wrong.
Listener, they are not.
So back at the courtyard pool the next day, Sydney's hanging out with a couple of the ladies in the stable, letting them know it's the new HQ and that she'll be throwing a party there for the girls who have signed back on. The ladies agree it's been real smooth sailing since Sydney took over. Sure has, off screen, as Sarah pointed out in our last podcast.
Yeah.
So Amanda comes back to see this and immediately gets salty, even though nothing untoward is happening. Apparently the pool is for tenant use, meaning tenants can't even invite friends over to use it. What the fuck? And so she would like Sydney to ask those women to leave. But whoops, Sydney actually read her lease. Clipped in.
According to the lease, I have every right to have people over for a swim. For a visit, for an overnight stay, even for a party, as long as the management has been informed in advance. So, I'm having a party tonight. Consider yourself informed, but not invited.
That was like an Amanda line, and you could sort of see Amanda clocking it, being like, you're a pest, but I see you.
Yep, game recognized game.
Yeah.
Sydney being like, well, you tried it. And Amanda being like, I did. And okay, I'll give you this one, I guess. So then Sydney's having another sexy party in her sad, unfurnished studio apartment with all its empty shelves when clip 11.
You call this a party? Yes, it's true. My lawyer finally earned his keep, got me off my technicality just a few hours ago. Oh, you're looking at a free woman, lady. Where's our fair hostess?
Welcome back, Lauren.
You must have psychic powers, Sydney. How did you know today would be a great day to celebrate?
Just looked into my crystal ball. Guess this means we have to do the renegotiating thing, huh?
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that. Because it occurred to me on the way over, it's not going to be necessary.
What do you mean?
The party's moving, Sydney.
Attention, ladies. There's been a change of location this evening. Everybody head back over to my house for a welcome home party to end all parties. I'll see you all there. No straggling.
I kept so much of that in because I just love how much Lauren is instantly in control and all the ladies are like, thank God mom is back.
They just file out behind her. She's like, go ahead.
Yep. I mean,
like, there's some discussion about, like, well, how are we getting to your house? Did you bring a limo? What's going on? Like, they're just like, yeah, it's Lauren. It's fine.
This is happening.
Yep.
So when they've all departed, only Lauren and her goon hang back as Lauren says Sydney owes her $15,000. Sydney, not picking up the vibe, says their deal was 50-50. But Lauren distinctly recalls it being 75-25. And when Sydney tries to argue again, the goon smashes the glass in a spectacularly ugly band poster that no one would ever take to a frame shop. Like, it's so ugly. It's just a question mark. Like, why would there be glass on this? It's so dumb. But anyway, Sydney stammers that she has $10,000 in the bank. We'll get the rest as soon as she can. And then the goon throws a glass vase against the front door as Lauren gleefully calls that the wrong answer. She'll deliver it by the end of the week. Sydney shouldn't plan on making it by coming back into the fold herself. And on her way out, Lauren says, clip 12.
You did a good job while I was away. Too good, really.
Okay. We're supposed to think that's what this is about, that, like, Lauren is threatened? Because no.
Yeah, no. Just be like, you need to... I mean, I don't really even understand why she's, like, doing this show of force now.
Right.
Like, just renegotiate it. And if Sydney doesn't like it, she'll flame out. It's what Sydney does.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, not that I don't enjoy watching Lauren be a negotiating badass, but it's like, this is not necessary. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Over to the hospital, Kimberly pages Michael to be to an OR for emergency surgery, but there's no appendectomy. She just needed to get dicked down immediately and shows that under her lab coat, she is just in her red satin Victoria's Secret underwear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Michael is confused. Clip 13.
Wait. Yesterday you bit my head off for kissing you, and today...
It was like Michael before the accident. Like this.
Not exactly. It works for me.
Such an easy mark.
Yeah.
Truly. So, back at the complex, Sydney knocks on Jane's door. At this point, I truly don't know why she's still trying other than that she has no other options. But, you know, God bless her, I guess. Yeah. Jane is not interested in the latest crisis and finally just closes the door on her and... Sydney pounds on it and cries, and this time I think is the first that we see Jane crying on the other side, and it's a little bit sad, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, they almost sell it, especially Bissette is, like, pretty good, but it's, like, it's a little late to still be upset about your idiot sister's idiot borderline foolishness.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
And because Jane would not give Sydney $5,000, Sydney's at a strip club looking to make it in a week. The manager calls her a nice package to her face while asking why she wants to work there. But the interview is pretty much a formality because she's both desperate and hot as shit. So here we go. And then Kimberly's just taken a couple of her brain pills at her locker at the hospital when Dr. Levin finds her to say hello, apparently for the first time since she, you know, came back from the presumed dead. She seems to be in a hurry to get away from him even before he gets into a difficult area. Clip 14.
I hope you don't take offense to this, but I heard through the grapevine that you're seeing Mancini again. Now, I realize it's none of my business, but if it's true, I feel compelled to tell you you're making a mistake.
Why do you say that?
You were one of the best doctors on staff. You were on the fast track. A rising star. And then your association with him. Look where it led you. You almost lost everything.
I am very aware how destructive our relationship was in the past.
Then break it off for your career. Hell, for your own good.
You really despise Michael, don't you?
Despise? No. I simply have zero respect for the man. He's a loose cannon with a huge ego. In medicine, that's a dangerous thing.
Yes, it is. May I share something with you, Dr. Levin?
Of course.
The truth is, I'm on a mission. It will all be very clear to you soon.
Yay! Scheming.
I mean, I don't know why any of these people is still employed. As a physician, they're all profoundly compromised. And like, she just woke up from a coma and was like, well, license didn't expire yet.
Right.
Okay. I get it. It's a soap, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever. Let the gears grind, Queen Kimberly.
Finally, we have our A plot. Sarah did not actually get that bruise on her neck by falling down the stairs. Of course, I do not mean our Sarah. I mean Sarah Owens, the model from Models, Inc.
I could conceivably have gotten a bruise on my neck from falling down the stairs.
Trying to pick up a nickel while stepping on your hand.
Stepping on my own hand. Uh-huh. It has happened.
back to the beach for a photo shoot, this one in swimsuits, which are actually photographed in the wintertime usually, but, you know, let's pretend. Sarah's there to pick up copies of her photos from the last episode for her portfolio, which is not how it works, as Joe tells her. Obviously, she does not have prints there, but Sarah's brought along her boyfriend, who can't stop staring at the models, even as Sarah is trying to introduce him to Joe. Apparently, he's the real reason they're there, because Sarah wanted them to meet. This is Hank. He just moved out from Sioux City to help Sarah with her career. Joe politely says it'll be nice for Sarah not to be in L.A. all alone, and Hank lets us know his whole deal in clip 15.
Oh, there's no way I'd let her be. I mean, from everything that Sarah tells me, it seems like a pretty twisted business. I gotta make sure that she stays normal.
Hank thinks that I'm gonna do this big change thing. I wouldn't worry about that. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She handles herself pretty well.
All of 18 and modeling? Somebody's gonna try to take advantage. That's a given.
Well, I'll admit it gets pretty funky, but it's not a total snake pit out here. I mean, there are some decent people in the business. Like Joe, for instance.
That's different. I'll put it this way. I felt a hell of a lot better when I found out this Joe person Sarah kept telling me about turned out to just be a woman.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Isn't he the sweetest? Yeah.
Zuniga. Excellent line delivery.
So good.
Yeah.
See, now this is good writing. It's very efficient. We got it. Hank is a pig. He's controlling.
Yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, it's the Phyllis of Melrose of the Starverse. Hank.
Oh, yeah. Hank.
So many Hanks.
Yep.
I think we got another Marchette coming, too.
That's true. In the finale. Yep. Ugh. So when we check back in with Sarah and Joe, they're shooting on Jake's boat, which our Patreon supporter Christopher K pointed this out the last time it came up. It's pretty rude of D&D and Amanda specifically to make Joe keep doing photo shoots on the crime scene where she personally was held hostage by someone that incredibly believed was going to kill
her. Even I forgot about that. So I'm assuming that's what happened with that.
Yeah.
Off.
Yeah, great point, Christopher K. The other thing is, like, you know, I get that they want to keep using the boat for, like, you know, they've acquired it for the production or whatever and have reasons for Jake to be, like, around. But at a certain point, aren't the clients going to be like, wow, another boat shoot? Like, have a new idea, D&D.
Another murder boat scene? Cool.
Anyway, it's another murder boat shoot. And this time in open water with no one else around, and Joe is fine with it, apparently, clip 16.
A little more, a little more. Like, you put it on yesterday and you spent all night making passionate love to Tom Cruise.
Good luck.
Yeah, last time it was Mel Gibson. Like, these references are very of their time and very not great in the present day. So, yeah.
Oh, yes. Xenu commands you to look pouty. Great work.
At least, I mean, next time it'll be Patrick Swayze. So it's like, well, at least those two are alive. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I'm just guessing. Based on the heartthrobs that were in Sassy all the time. I don't know. Anyway, this is for a perfume called Entangled, even though Sarah is dressed more for something like Love's Baby Even Softer, but fine.
Yeah. My God. Yeah.
She seems a little self-conscious and shy that Jake is off to the side watching, which is fair. Like, go read a book. You're not part of this. But, like, I'm sure he's bored. But that's not the point. Anyway, to get Sarah to loosen up, Joe tries to get her talking about Hank in clip 17.
Well, we've known each other since high school. Yeah, what else? What does he do? Well, he's a farmer by trade. He worked his dad's cornfields back home.
Cornfields. What's he planning on doing out here?
I don't know. He'll figure out something, though. He's stubborn that way. He doesn't like to ask anyone for help, not even me. I'm familiar with that type. We've had our rough times, but neither of us are too proud to work him out.
We've known each other since high school. You're 18.
It was last year. It was like 10 minutes ago. What are you talking about?
Right. Okay. But anyway, fine. Later, the shoot is over, but there's some kind of electrical problem with the boat, and they all agree to wait to have parts brought over rather than, like, get a ride and just leave the boat abandoned in open water. And Sarah's fine with that as long as she can beat Hank back from the Lakers game he's at. So while they wait, Joe and Jake talk about how nice it is to get away from the smog, and Sarah says the skies are always like that in Iowa, and then asks how much longer it'll be when she hears it'll be a couple hours, so she's going to go take a nap even though it's fully dark out. Says that since Hank got to town, she hasn't gotten much sleep, and Joe and Jake smile knowingly, and she backtracks, saying she and Hank haven't even done anything yet, and then takes off blushing. And when she's gone, Joe asks about Jake and Amanda. He says they're doing fine. She asks if he thinks they'll be together for a long time, and he admits he's not sure since he doesn't think they want the same things, like a family, since Amanda's a career woman. And then he asks about her, and Joe finally remembers her pregnancy, asking if he means, does she think Junior needs a father? But she's not sure since she ran off Gregory, not that she names him, but sincerely says she thinks Jake will be a good father when the time comes. And then out of kind of nowhere, he, like, puts his hand on her face and goes in for a kiss, but she tells him not to, which, like, that did not, I didn't buy that either.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Again, there's a lot of, like, chess piece moving that this show is usually better at.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a lot of, you just really hear the pieces scraping on the board this time.
Sure do. So later, Joe's hanging out at home and there's a pounding at her door. It is Sarah in a state. She and Hank got in a fight about her spending time around other men, during which he yelled at her and hit her. And Joe hugs her and says that Sarah's not going to back to Hank. She can stay with Joe. So then Joe goes by Jake's the next day to see if he's going to be in that night, telling him about Sarah and Hank and her concerns that Hank might come by looking for her. And he says maybe Joe should call the cops. She makes a face, which is very warranted, but and adds there's no point because the cops can never do anything until it's too late, which true. So Jake doesn't answer that because it's true. So Joe tells him to forget it. And he finally says he's taking Amanda out for dinner to make up for standing her up the other night. So maybe she should get Billy, cough, or Matt. I mean, we saw Matt lay out Michael a few episodes ago. That was cool. Get Matt for sure. But
yeah, agree.
Joe says Sarah's probably just being paranoid and Hank's on his way back to Iowa by now. So Jake offers to move up his dinner, but then Amanda calls to confirm it and Joe takes off. And Amanda can tell Jake has something on his mind. This is like they sort of bicker back and forth about whether he's actually going to show. And this, I guess, is supposed to be the setup for Amanda's sad window looking that makes her kiss Chaz, but whatever. The other thing is, like, instead of just walking through the opening where she's like, if you're not going to be into this, like, just skip it. And instead of being like, well, there's an abusive guy and I'm going to try and make sure that someone doesn't get hurt. Like, you know, in the last episode, she and Joe almost vigilanted a stalker. So, like, maybe she would be sensitive to that, but doesn't come up.
Also, didn't they talk about, don't they talk about anything?
Right. Exactly.
Like, only on TV do people who are going out only see each other on televised dates. Right. It's like The Bachelor. It's like, don't you guys talk?
Right.
You live in the same building.
Yeah. I mean, he's over there all the time. It seems like he's hardly ever in his apartment, really. Anyway, yeah. As predicted, Hank shows up that night in his varsity jacket. It has an eye on it, and I know he's supposed to be from Iowa, but it's established he didn't go to college, so is it supposed to be like he went to Iowa high school? Like, I don't know what this is supposed to be an eye for. Anyway. So he's at the door bellowing for Sarah. Inside, she's clinging to Joe's hip and crying. And for some reason, Joe decides to just go to the door and try to talk to him instead of just continuing to not open it. And of course, he shoves past her into the apartment and grabs Sarah and says they're going home and yanks her out. Joe threatens to call the cops and follows as Hank continues yanking Sarah. And though she screams for Billy or Matt to come and help her. In the melee at the top of the stairs, Hank roughly shoves Joe, and she takes a hard, very slow motion fall all the way down the stairs, not stopping at the landing at all. Keeps going. And I know we're supposed to be worried about the baby, but with all those tiled steps, I'm a little more concerned about a head injury. But anyway, that's where we leave it. Yikes.
Yeah.
Good job, Hank. Jerk. Let us close things up with our episode MVP. I mean, speaking of chess pieces, Kimberly, it seems like she's got a plan and she's working it.
Yeah. And she looked great in the, you know, red satin. So good for her.
Boy, did she. Least valuable player. Chaz, even worse than Hank, the stair pusher. I'm just so sick of his shit.
Yeah. God, Chaz. He is just so Miami Vice smarmy.
Yes. That's the perfect way to put it.
God, terrible. Yeah, Chaz.
All right.
Next time on Again With This, Sydney's downward spiral takes a side trip around a pole. Chaz destroys three relationships, and those headaches aren't impeding Kimberly's multi-level long con skills. Speaking of headaches, if you want one, check out our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website. That's againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where you can find links to our very special 90210 book and to virtual events we're doing, so choose yourself and bookmark it today. Follow us on Twitter at AWT90210 and join our Patreon page at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra content. I'm misogynist poker knight Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Lise Guest Clause Truther, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is malign bumpkin boyfriend David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Sarah, you're doing great. Just great.
Thanks, buddy.